Hi everyone, my name is Sean and I'm the Tech and Media Editor at Campaign Asia. Today I'm speaking to John McNerney, Managing Director for Australia and Southeast Asia at Yahoo. Welcome, John. Thank you for joining me on this podcast today. So before we start, in your own words, can you please introduce yourself and your role at Yahoo? And also, what is something that people don't know about you?
Well, Sean, thanks firstly for having me. Pleasure to be on here. Yes, as you mentioned, I'm Managing Director of Yahoo Ads across Australia, Singapore, Southeast Asia. Been with the business for about 15 plus years. And yeah, something fun about me. Gosh, not many people know what my accent originates from. I'm actually a New Zealander, but I'm half Irish, half Zimbabwean, and I lived in Canada, England, South Africa. And no one really knows, never really put a pin on where my accent is from, but there's something that backs that up. So yeah.
Half Zimbabwe, where have you lived there or were one of your parents from there?
No, my parents are Irish and are from Zimbabwe. Yeah. I grew up most of my life in New Zealand, but then left my tertiary education and went to London and then Canada. And then I've lived the last 10 years in Australia.
Well, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing, John. So today we are going to discuss how marketers can navigate ad tech transformations and trends in 2024 and beyond. But before we go into that, John, can you share what 2023 looked like for you and Yahoo, and how's 2024 going so far at the moment?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so a little bit about Yahoo first. We're a 29-year-old company. We've got a vast legacy and heritage of being the first search portal on the web. We continue to innovate for the future, and that's exactly what the big transformation that we went through last year in 2023. We had a lot of ad technology, marketing technology, and we decided to focus on the buy side, which is the Yahoo DSP, our Yahoo content, or otherwise known as the consumer side. That's got Yahoo Sport, finance, news, lifestyle, and the rest. That content is still going strong, and what the ads business, which is what I manage in the APAC region, is all focused about giving the media solutions to the marketers and brands through that technology and making sure that staying ahead of the very, very fast changing landscape that we had last year. And we made absolutely the right moves there. So what happened last year within the industry around privacy and regulation, and what's happening this year with, cookie deprecation and the need for technology to work for marketers with these changes is absolutely what we've focused on. So I hope that gives you a flavor about what we doubled down on and made sure we made the right strategic moves.
Yeah, that's very useful. So, as we approach the first quarter of 2024, that's really quick, it's really towards the end of March. What were some anticipated trends? You mentioned cookies just now and the signal loss that comes with it, right? Or even expectations in the ad tech industry that materialize, or conversely, what are some that hasn't happened so far that were predicted last year?
Well, yes. Last year we said it was all about transformation for us as well as a business. Thankfully, we did that early, and a lot of businesses are going through that now. But as an industry, we saw a huge amount of consolidation and just deeper partnerships. We've seen that particularly in the last, well, yeah, I can't believe we're almost into Q2 of this year. First quarter, we've seen things like consolidation around the Disney Reliance JV in India. We've seen agency consolidation, like the big groups of WPP with Essence MediaCom, and bringing a lot of those agencies together to streamline things and make big efficiencies and gains there. So that's one. The other big piece would be around brands and marketers' reliance that are really starting to change. We've seen agencies accelerate the way that they service the brands and marketers. And that's everything from them partnering even more so with the likes of Yahoo. So, we work very closely with governments around the world, industry bodies, particularly here in APAC with their IAB, but globally as well. And each country's got their own industry bodies. So, really staying at the forefront of how that policy is going to change the technology that agencies use. Now, what that then goes into is we've seen another, be a third point would be around a shift with total TV. Now, for us in Australia, it's quite a mature market. I know through Southeast Asia and other countries are coming fast, but total TV is absolutely at the forefront and center of almost every discussion at the moment. We're seeing the acceleration of the entrance with fast streaming platforms. We've got broadcast video on demand. We've got subscription video on demand. We've got licensing of content being fought for by the likes of Netflix and the Disneys of this world. We're seeing a lot of change there as well. So this is an absolute beast when we talk about total TV. And I say that because the way brands and marketers have seen TV has been very fragmented. So they look at linear TV versus connected TVs or catch up, and that's starting to really come together now. And that's through different measurement capabilities of those audiences and different currencies as well. So it's very evident that one single currency of ratings, and this is global, it's not just an Australia thing, is definitely coming into play, and we're seeing multi-currencies being used by marketers through the technologies. The other big piece for me is around the cookie deprecation. In the last, I would say, not just 3 months, but say 6 to 8 weeks, we've seen a huge increase into the understanding of what is about to happen when those cookies turn off in that July-August period, where 70% of the audiences online won't have an identifier or cookie on their browser. So we're seeing a huge ramp up on understanding, education, platform adoption around what that's going to do. And I'd say probably the last thing, there's a lot of trends here. The last thing I've seen in the last quarter of this year, I guess, would be the acceleration into digital. We're seeing an APAC around, we saw last year in 2023, 6% increase in digital revenue total. We're projecting around another 7% in 2024. And that's in a climate which is, we're seeing economic struggles as well. But that just shows that the brands coming from a very offline heavy investment are seeing the benefits of digital and the ability to measure and understand their audiences through the use of data and insights and things like that. So very long-winded answer to your question, but some pretty significant topics to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's interesting. Before I ask you about cookies, I just want to say that I never heard of the term total TV before. It's interesting because there's FAST, there's OTT, there's CTV, but you know, maybe we need one acronym to rule them all because there's so many different acronyms around CTV, OTT at the moment. So total TV could be it.
Yeah, it's one of those things in our industry, in programmatic or digital, we seem to overcomplicate things with a lot of different acronyms. So but total TV is encapsulating a lot of what's going on at the moment, whether it be measurement or the types of platforms being used and everything else in ratings. So
so when it comes to cookies, what have you heard around like signal loss at the moment with 1% of it gone, and you know, how are you helping your clients deal with that at the moment? And also, like, do you think July is a realistic timeline that 99% of cookies will be entirely gone?
It's a very loaded / big question. But yes, we have to be ready for that. It has been delayed over and over again, and we're pretty much certain this is going to happen. And it is a huge concern at the moment of mine, where we've, on the board of the industry bodies I'm a part of, we're hearing that, you know, the CMOs of these large brands are sitting forward now and taking notice. And this is after years of us being educating the industry, but it really goes to show that, you know, a lot of the education that has been had now needs to be put into practice. So we're starting to see this significant ramp up of everyone leaning in and hurrying to get this sorted. The Google 1% deprecation of cookies on Chrome definitely shook and jolted the industry, because we're already starting to see a degradation in performance of campaigns where the audiences are starting to decline, because the use of cookies, when there's audiences out there with no identifier, it really starts to put pressure on those performance metrics. So yes, it is something we absolutely need to get ready for. There are tech tools available, but more needs to be done from a more holistic approach. Yahoo's got an agnostic approach. We've got next-gen solutions, which are essentially the technology learns from the addressable first-party data that we have. So we can identify people online, and whether it be on mobile apps or connected TVs within a household, on your laptops and all the different devices within those. But for the non-addressable, the ones that don't have IDs stitched together, we have the technology to learn about and predict about and understand who those users and audiences are. Why I said it was concerning is that we've learned from the likes of the privacy regulations with GDPR in the UK and things like that, where we think it was about, you know, making things more transparent and understanding what's happening in the supply chain. It really pushed a lot to the walled gardens. And this is another repeat. So if you really think about it, the biggest players with the most data can quite easily just get a lot of that kind of change that's happening in the industry. So for the unknown, for the trader on the keyboard, looking after millions of dollars, seeing performance decrease by 20 to 30% already, if they don't know how to use the platforms for the open web, they can put it back into those walled gardens. But that's race to the bottom. So it is really important that we do a better job as an industry to educate and actually put in practice what those platforms are capable of. And yes, Yahoo has them, but there are other platforms that have other solutions as well. So collaboration and data interoperability are absolutely essential. Data maturity is another really important point. So what do I mean by data maturity? I mean, advertisers don't just have to rely on their first party data. If they have first party data, and if they don't have first party data, then leveraging the partners that do. So working with CDPs or content delivery platforms or clean rooms. So I can link the audiences from publishers with unified identifiers to the technology and their audiences in a good, efficient way. That is all possible. So it's really important that the marketers are using agencies to educate them about how this happens. So that data maturity is what we're focusing on right now at Yahoo, making sure that all of our partners, we know what their readiness is for when cookies are totally turned off. And when it does, that they've got all the pipes and the right levers and the right people to be able to make sure that that's happening right now.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned clean rooms as well. Like, I think it's becoming more of cloud storage or cloud data has been around for a while, but the data clean rooms has certainly become more of a hot topic these days. Are you working with any data storage warehouse partners or anything?
So yes, we're agnostic and we basically plug into all CDPs and clean rooms. So whether it's a brand that's using a CDP or a DMP, I love these acronyms, and then clean rooms, that's one way our technology is plugged into it. So those signals flow through and then match to the media that they buy, whether it's connected TVs or digital out of home or display or on your phone with audio in your ears or whatever it might be. We also find that agencies are playing a really critical role in this as well. So they'll assist their brands on how to navigate. They don't have data and what they can do through clean rooms and things like that. So absolutely, we work daily with a lot of brands and agencies using the technologies to stitch it all together.
So I want to move on to the next big thing. Have you heard of generative AI?
Gen AI, yes. Absolutely. It seems to be mentioned in every sentence these days.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody has heard of it. Yeah. So in terms of the data storage, I was saying, like, AI has been around for a while. It isn't a new term. And last year, there was a lot of buzz and education about what AI or even generative AI can do for marketers and even users. So how are you using it at the moment, or what do you think about generative AI? Do you expect to make a big impact in 2024?
I like the question. It's not like, do you think it's going to, what's the future? In the next 12 months, AI has always been used in a lot of marketing technology. But what we're seeing is this very, very fast ramp up in what AI does for operational efficiencies. So for us, and what I know is happening in the marketing technology space, is that operational efficiencies, you know, having, for example, chatbots in the buying platforms, rather than emailing and waiting 48 hours for a response, the chatbots are vastly more improved to almost talk to the trader managing these campaigns for these big brands in real time to give these answers. We're getting to the point where the artificial intelligence offerings are saving traders using our technology upwards of 30 to 40% in time, whether it's thinking about a strategy on what to do or troubleshooting, or thinking about, you know, what should they do with a particular pixel on a different particular type of inventory. So absolutely, these efficiencies are more operational. What I would say, though, is there is a need, and this is what I'm implementing across our region within Yahoo specifically, and we're doing it as a business, is the understanding and the education of our own people around what artificial intelligence means. Gen AI is coming later. It's definitely not something in 2024. The definition of generative AI and what that actually means can be misunderstood. But these, what artificial intelligence does as for business owners, how it can improve one's job, not redefining it, is really important. So because it's changing so fast, people can be lost in the, there's so many bells and whistles and toys to be playing with. So it's really important for businesses within our space, but not just in media, in our industry, in any job function, to know what the actual objectives, what's the purpose of having AI implemented into our daily lives within our job. So the first and foremost for us, we know our people, their knowledge and their knowledge work is the most important. How do we support our people to do their job? For us, it's our people are consultants to the marketers and the agencies. And for the marketers and agencies, we know that operational efficiencies are absolutely important. So for us, it's definitely about keeping our people at the forefront of what AI is doing and how it can benefit us first and foremost.
Yeah. We talked about signal loss from cookies earlier. Do you think generative AI can kind of replace that signal loss in terms of, you know, what kind of impact it can have on the supply chain or even like ad tech in general?
AI, as I mentioned, has been used in MarTech for so long, and those algorithms that are used to bid and predict are only getting stronger and better. The signal loss that we're losing without cookies and privacy and policy regulations that are coming down the track do remove a lot of the ability for these algorithms and artificial intelligence to do those predictions. So it's not about artificial intelligence taking over and doing things better. I would say it's one of those pieces where artificial intelligence helps a myriad of different subjects. So for example, I talked about chatbots within a buying platform, a campaign platform, or it could be dynamic creative optimization. So we're building a creative suite that has got AI capabilities that, rather than having a creative agency or a trader spend hours changing and creating a creative for multiple different types of devices, the system does it for them in the matter of seconds. It can reshape, create the image based on text prompts and a few virtual cues to bring it to life straight away, and they can play around with that as a trader. So that there is a different way that AI is really making a difference to advertising. But that's within the, I would say, you know, that's what's happening now. What happens in the next 24 months to, you know, 3 years, that's when we'll really get to see how AI plays a role with marketers. You're already starting to see jobs come out there, chief AI officers, and, you know, you wouldn't have expected that 12 months ago. Like, but this is how important artificial intelligence is going to play in society, not just in advertising.
Mm. Exciting times. So as we wrap up, what are some of the big opportunities for marketers and your clients in 2024? Do you see any developments or any interesting things that will come out in ad tech that people who are listening to this should be aware of?
Biggest opportunity this year is understanding the ability for business efficiencies and understanding business outcomes. So firstly, people. talent building, with the likes of what we've just been talking about for artificial intelligence, becoming far more versed with the practicalities of what that means, but also their careers and understanding what knowledge work and strategic thinking is going to mean as a differentiator moving forward. I can't put more focus on how valuable our people are, because there's this, I guess, bubble around that acronym AI at the moment, where it's going to take over roles and the efficiencies gained are going to be meaning that we're going to need to, we don't need as many people. But that is, I actually think it's the reverse. I think the shift on the heavy work that that acronym can help people focus more on doing what they do best, and that's offering that really specialist knowledge work with whatever role that they do within a company. The other piece I would say is around, you know, don't be afraid of change. Yahoo has gone through so much change over the last 29 years, and we embrace it. And that's why we love and cherish the fact that we can bring our partners along the journey of, you know, what we call the digital wilderness at the moment, because there's so much happening, whether that's privacy and policy and regulation and cookie deprecation, and what's happening with the technology advancing from, you know, total TV and bringing together the offline and online digital worlds together, because we can track people driving past billboards and watching TV in a household and message them to buying a pair of shoes on a phone, and being able to really bring that consumer journey together. So I think those key things are going to be huge for this year. The opportunities are absolutely massive. I love the fact that agencies have, we're seeing a resurgence of their purpose, where there was a lot of, you know, bad press over the years and consultancy firms trying to come in, but absolutely not. The partnerships and the value that agencies bring to these marketers is seen as being more vital than ever, because of how fast our industry and society is changing at the moment.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today, John. Thanks for sharing your great insights and even your Zimbabwe roots. It's been fascinating to learn that. Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me, Sean.